Hello, my friends. This is Linda Lippin, and welcome to the Pilates Goddess Podcast. Hello, my friend, and thank you for coming back once again to listen to the Pilates Goddess Podcast. This is Linda, and today we are talking about how to modify exercises. And this discussion is not just for Pilates teachers and exercise professionals who need to modify exercises generally, but also for anyone who's moving and exercising, sometimes can't do an exercise or feel like something hurts or something is a little too much, but you're not quite sure how to modify that exercise or change it on your own. Now, luckily for all of us, there are actually only a few ways to modify exercises. Now, these ways can, of course, be combined as well as done separately, but there's really just a few kind of simple things that you can do. And I also wanted to let you guys know that I modify my own exercises all the time, okay? And I'm going to explain to you in a second why. So some of you know that I have a history of chronic pain and hypermobility. I also have a very severe vertebrae degeneration in my cervical spine on the right, which when it gets bad leads to the feeling of numbness or like electrical shocks coming into my index finger and my thumb on the right side. And then about 10 days ago, I fell after getting my nails done onto my left knee. And then my left knee was a little painful. I went to the doctor and my left knee is fine, but it still kind of hurts. And I find that I've had to modify my exercises kind of around that, because if you just keep working through pain and working through large ranges of motion or instability and pain, all you are doing is creating more inflammation, more pain, potentially adding on to arthritis or starting arthritis or arthritic changes within your bones and your joints, okay? And it's really not doing you any good or your body any good. So we look at modifying, okay? Modification, again, does not necessarily make things easier. Modification makes things doable. And can sometimes actually make things harder, because suddenly you're working within a different range of motion, you're working in a more strict way, and you're a little bit focused on where your body is in space and what exactly it is that you are doing. Okay, so the first way that we modify an exercise, and this is where I always go first, is reducing the range of motion. So what does that mean, reducing the range of motion? It simply means that you make things a little bit smaller. So say that, like me, one of your knees is hurting and your knee hurts when you bend it too much. I know it sounds trite, but my answer to that is don't bend it too much. Or just bend it to a place where it still feels okay. And then I promise you that if you slowly do that, that range of motion will slowly increase in that pain-free range. Now, I don't love reducing my range of motion. Again, I'm a little hypermobile. I am used to having a lot of range of motion, especially in my hips and in my shoulders and my knees. So when I don't have that range of motion, it's a little bit disturbing to me. And I tend to kind of want to ignore that and kind of work through it. But I also know, as a trained professional, that that is not helping me and my body much at all. So the first thing that I started to do was reduce the range of motion in that left knee. And what that means is that if I'm on my back and I'm bringing my knee into my chest, say for something like a single leg stretch or a crisscross bicycle ab exercise, that I'm paying attention to keeping my pelvis very stable, but not bending my knee to a point where it hurts. And right now, I'm letting you know that that started out at about 90 degrees. But since we're moving a little bit closer to about probably 120 degrees, which is really a good range of motion for knee flexion, right? And hip flexion. So I'm feeling pretty good about where my knee can go in line with my hip and keeping my pelvis down and my sacrum heavy. So things are working together. But I've also noticed that when I do a squat or I do a deadlift or I bend my knee when I'm weight bearing on the knee, that again, when I go past a certain point, it hurts. So I take note of where that angle is, of where the pain starts, and then I try to not go there on the next one. And this way, I am able to really keep my weight even between my two legs, still get the work done that I need to do to strengthen around the knee and the hip without going into that very painful place. Okay. Now, if you are working on Pilates equipment or you're using bands or straps or you're teaching people on apparatus of any form, know that sometimes if people aren't used to working with the assistance, okay, not just the resistance, but the assistance of, say, being able to bend their knee and their hip quickly with a leg spring or with their feet in the reformer strap, that they might inadvertently go into a bigger range of motion than they should. And they're going to know it because they're going to get stuck into a position that really, really hurts. So just be mindful for yourself or your clients that if you're working with any kind of resistance that is assisting, say that would be assisting the bend of my knee, that I need to be really careful about monitoring that resistance so it doesn't just push my body into a position that is potentially dangerous or can hurt me. Okay. So limiting the range of motion. This can apply to all the joints in your body. So if you're going to limit the range of motion in your neck, for example, because turning your head too much or nodding and lifting and looking behind you and flexing and extending the neck is a little too much, then that means that you're going to do a smaller range of motion in a head turn. That means you're going to do a smaller range of motion as you're nodding your chin and maybe lifting your chin up. It may mean that when you do your spine extension work, where you're on your stomach and you're going into a cobra or a swan or a pull straps or anything like that, that instead of really looking up to the ceiling and crunching through the back of your neck, you're keeping your neck a little bit longer and just gazing slightly forward. Okay. If you have back issues, and I've done some other episodes where we talk about back pain, but you know, one of my teachers, Romana Krasinovska, used to say, bad back, keep flat. And what she meant by that was, if you've got somebody with a lot of back pain, don't be doing a whole lot of back mobility work. So if you know that your back hurts when you really round your spine, then avoid really rounding your spine. If you know that your back hurts and maybe hurts for a couple of days later because you have stenosis, and if you go into a full extension exercise where you're either lifting up your upper body all the way while your hips and legs are down, or you're lifting up your legs while your upper body is down, or both, and you know that that's going to hurt your back for a few days, then maybe you don't do that. or you do things in a much smaller range of motion so that you're not working through, again, those areas that might cause you pain and cause you pain for a longer period of time. So reducing the range of motion is always indicated and always a great way to modify an exercise. If you're doing Pilates mat and you have problems lying on your back and keeping one straight leg up to the ceiling, say to do single straight leg circles, and you find that if you go into a bigger circle, your hips go all over the place, then you make your circle a little bit smaller so that you can control your torso and control your pelvis while you're moving your leg. Okay? You're doing an exercise on your side and you feel like your upper body is rolling around and maybe you're not stable enough and it kind of hurts, then you make the range of motion of whatever it is that you're doing with your legs, whether you're kicking forward, back, up or down, whatever that is, you reduce that range of motion a little bit until you can control things and until things don't hurt, and then you can expand from there. Okay, so number one rule is you start to reduce the range of motion of the movement. Now, the second rule is you can shorten the lever. Now, what does that actually mean? So when you're looking at the human body in engineering terms, we have levers and pulleys. The pulleys are our muscles, okay? And our muscles allow us to use our limbs in a very leveraged way. There are connections from our spines to our legs, from our spines to our arms and our shoulders. And as we move those limbs around, okay, we can find stability in the center of our body. But what you may notice is that, say, if your leg is super straight, it's much harder to control things than if your knee is bent and a little bit closer to your body. If your arm is straight overhead, it's a little bit harder to control things, say a heavy weight, than it is if your elbows are bent and that weight is closer to your body. Okay? So after reducing range of motion, the next thing that you may want to look at is shortening the lever or reducing the length of the lever. Now, that may mean that for something like a single leg circle, if you cannot hold your leg straight up to the ceiling without your pelvis tucking and your neck lifting up and everything cramping in your leg and lower body, that you bend your knees. And then maybe you do those circles with bent knees and bent limbs until you're able to straighten things. Okay? It may mean that you do something with a bent elbow or a slightly bent arm. It may mean that instead of doing a plank where you're up on your hands and on your toes, that you can either come down to your elbows or come down to your knees or both. Be on your elbows and your knees and, you know, shorten the lever on both ends. You're a little bit closer to the ground. It's a little bit easier to control things than when you're in the full expression of that exercise. So that's the second thing you want to look at, is shortening the lever. Okay. It's the difference if you do any kind of weightlifting in the gym and you do any kind of deadlifts. You know, there's the classic bent knee deadlift, and then there is the stiff-legged deadlift, and those are different exercises. Those are different animals, right? Because in one, you're bending the knee and shortening the lever as much as you need to bend forward, put down the heavy object, and pick it back up. With the stiff-legged one, you're keeping that lever a little straighter of the legs and of the upper body. So it's a lot harder to control that movement without taking it into your back or your neck or someplace that you really don't want it. So we shorten the lever. Okay. So pretty much in any exercise, especially if you're doing abdominal work where you're on your back with your legs straight up to the ceiling in any way, bending those knees a little bit is going to help take some of the pressure off and make things a little bit easier to do. So again, we're looking at reducing range of motion. And then we look at shortening levers. The third thing that you can do to modify an exercise is to add some assistance or add a prop or add something. Oftentimes, the way we will add a prop, especially in Pilates, but pretty much, you know, routinely, I see this in yoga, I see this in the gym, I see this all over the place, is we try to close a kinetic chain. So here's an interesting thing. You may have wondered why it's so much easier to hold your leg up if you've got like a TheraBand or a tube or a strap with a spring or the reformer straps around your feet. And the reason for that is that when at the end of your limb, hand or foot, you have something to actually push into or push against, that's called closing the kinetic chain. And closed kinetic chain movements in the human body are always easier. Easier to learn, easier to accomplish, easier to move forward on than open chain. As one example, jumping is an open chain activity. Walking or marching, where one foot is always on the ground, is a closed chain activity. Doing leg circles with both legs up in the air, no straps, no assistance, is an open chain activity and almost impossible for most people. Okay, doing those leg circles either with bands, with straps, with springs, with something around the bottom of your foot, with a tie four, is suddenly doable, partly because you have the assistance of something that has closed the kinetic chain, and that gives you some assistance on the lift and on the movement of your body. So adding props helps. For example, and this can be any kind of prop. So sometimes I have clients who, when they go into any kind of bridging exercise, tend to just open up their knees and go right into their rotators, and they end up in some hip pain afterwards. So for those clients, I will often take either a magic circle or Pilates ring and put it on top of their knees, literally over their knees with a pad on each side, or I'll have them tie a TheraBand or a tube and put it, or use, you know, one of the round circles and put it around their thighs again. So it's at the outside of their thigh by their knee. And if they're in a tie four, I will have them lift up the leg bungees, cross them once, and put them on the outside of their knees. So that again, you have to do a little bit of work to push your knees open. And once they've done that, then they're in more of a parallel position. They can't open their knees too much, and they're going to work more in the proper muscles. So then they can just do a push out into the ring, into the band, into the tie four bungees, and lift their hips up, and it tends to work a lot better. Okay? So there are a lot of opportunities to use this kind of assistance. If you have an issue doing a roll up from the mat, which is an open kinetic chain activity in Pilates, there are several things you can do to help assist with this. One of them is you can take a TheraBand, wrap it around your feet, and use it to literally pull off of a little to help you get up, similar to how you might use the rollback bar on the Cadillac or tower in a Pilates studio. You can also bend your knees a little bit, shorten the lever a little bit, and try that. You can also take, if you tend to tuck your pelvis under and compress into your lower back a lot, you can actually take a little folded up hand towel and just put it under your lower back curve. And that way, as you're curling up and rolling through your spine, you won't be compressing as much into your lower back. And you may find that keeping your sacrum and your tail heavy as you roll up gives you the assistance that you need to get there. You may also find that some combination of all of that works well for you. So what I'd like you to take from this is that, number one, there is no reason to not modify an exercise unless you are absolutely feeling perfect in your body, nothing's hurting, nothing's a problem. And I'm not like that, and none of my clients are like that, then generally you're going to be needing to modify some exercises for yourself. And if you're teaching other humans, then you're going to need to modify things for them as well. And once you know these easy ways of modifying, right, you offer assistance, close the kinetic chain, you reduce the range of motion, you shorten the lever. It's easy. Then things become a little bit easier because once you're doing the exercise or teaching the exercise and suddenly a challenge comes up, you can say, oh, there's the challenge. What might be the best modification or combo of modifications that can help us overcome this challenge here? And that's it. That's literally it. So I hope this was helpful for you, whether you are working out stuff in your own body, or you're a Pilates, yoga, or fitness teacher training other human beings, because I think it's important for all of us to be mindful of how we're moving, not move through a lot of pain, and be very clear on the spot, in the moment of, oh, this hurts. Oh, this doesn't feel great. And here is an easy thing that I can do to help modify this so I can do this exercise. And that's it. So have a fabulous rest of your day or night. Thank you so, so much again for listening to the podcast. In the next episode, you are going to be hearing a wonderful interview that I did with a good friend and fellow trainer, Steve Washuta from Truly Fit, who is absolutely brilliant and clear. And I think you're really going to get a lot out of Thursday's episode as well. And of course, if you're enjoying the podcast, please, please go to the Apple Podcasts app, go into Spotify, and leave a rating and a written review. And please share the podcast with everyone you know. I am so happy to be here and be able to connect with you. And I will be talking to you soon. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Pilates Goddess Podcast. Music brought to you by Nerd Salad. Please leave a review on Apple Podcasts, especially if you liked it. And please like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks.